It is so good to be here again. I just went to, was it Izzy who shared? I don't know if you were here last time we were here, but thank you. I was diagnosed with cancer last year. And when I was diagnosed, I just felt God come around me. And I remember experiencing God come around me like a warm blanket. And it was, now, I didn't have quite the same revelation as Izzy, because I don't remember it being sparkly. But I remember God just wrapping himself round. And for months, I just felt that he was like this protection around me, like this warm blanket. And then I was reading, not the Revelation version. What's the new version that we've got? The Passion version. And there it is in Psalms, where it talks about, in NIV, it talks about him being our shield and our protector. It actually talks about his wraparound presence like a blanket. It's wonderful. I'm only a youngster in comparison with some of you, but you get 62 and you're still finding out a lot more about God. It's wonderful. I love it. Just to say, I've been declared cancer-free, which is amazing. Yes. I still have a dressing on the back, but that dressing is only a sixth of the size of the dressing. So the sarcoma is gone. We were sharing this morning with Wendy. I actually felt God's anger at the cancer. Cancer is never part of God's creation. And we're not going to find cancer in heaven, you'll be pleased to know. And a whole load of other health issues. And I felt his anger aimed at this, as it, this was coming against not only what he created, but against one of his children. Now, sadly, we live in an imperfect world, and we're going to face death at some stage. And I'm not trying to trivialize that. But don't let that skew your imagination from that God somehow is not angry with death. He is angry with death. So angry with death, he was prepared to send Jesus to come and break the hold of death so that we don't have to eternally die. And he was prepared to face what he was angry with by dying himself so that we didn't have to. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? Anyway, that's getting me on a whole different subject. We felt very much God laid on our heart something to share with you, and I hope it encourages you. But before we do that, I very much don't like aligning churches with a particular political stance. So I'm not going to do that. And whatever your political stance or position is, and your whole position about Brexit is, I don't even want to get in there. But what I do know, looking at our government and parliament, is it's in a bit of a mess. And Paul very clearly says to Timothy, pray for those in authority over you. For kings and for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And I think if there's ever a time our government and our parliament needed prayer, it's right now. And we need our wonderful living Father to just take sovereign control. And over the centuries, our Father has wonderfully steered Britain. There's some sovereign moments in Britain's history. And I'd love us just to pray for God to do that again in his grace. And not to leave us to our own devices, but that he sovereignly overrules this whole Brexit thing for the future, so that we can live in peace and godliness and holiness. And that actually the gospel is allowed to prosper and the church is allowed to prosper. So I wonder, for those who can stand, can we stand? If you can't stand, don't worry, because your prayers are still as important. But I wonder if just silently we can each pray for our government and parliament at this moment and ask for wisdom and inspiration and for God to sovereignly overrule. Is that okay? Lord, mighty God, if someone wants to speak out, that's fine. But Let's just pray. Let's intercede. Father, oh God, we need you in our nation. Father, please, break in, Lord. Break in. Sovereignly overrule this nation, Lord. Father, we are so aware of how much you love us and how you've guided this nation over not just decades but centuries. And we come to you in our weakness as a nation and say, Father, will you sovereignly overrule all these decisions regarding Brexit at the moment? Lord, would you help our government? Would you help our parliament to come together? And would you inspire the right decision? Lord, would you sovereignly overrule and take control and that the right decisions are made, Lord, for the future of this nation and for the nations, and that your church and your gospel can prosper in this nation and continue to advance and continue to break forward and continue to honor and glorify you. Father, we pray for the Prime Minister, we pray for the government, we pray for our parliament. Father, would you bring revelations and dreams over the coming day? Would you speak to them in ways that powerfully persuade them into which direction to go? Would they know your leaning? Lord, I pray for every Christian in parliament, for them to be given courage and boldness and favor with their colleagues. And Lord, that your will be done. And for your sovereign plan to overrule in this nation. For your glory, Lord. Amen. Thank you. We're running short of time, but also in your presence, I'm sure many of you have, but please remember the folks in New Zealand as well. It's an awful massacre. And just to pray for every family affected, every person affected, and that nation. On the other side, it is great to be here. We always enjoy our visits here. We love it. It's like coming back to family. It really is. We don't exaggerate that. It's funny, when speakers sometimes turn up, they feel that they have to say things. Do you know what I mean? That are nice. We never feel that we have to do that. This is who we are. We love being here. We enjoy it. And we were just on the phone, and now I've got my energy levels back. It's great. I've never been so grateful for being normal as I am now. I didn't realize how much you could lose. Well, I don't know if I'm normal, but for me, this is not. And to go on a walk and not run out of energy within 10 minutes. And we visited our son and daughter-in-law last weekend, and they said about going for a walk. And as I arrived, I find out it's uphill, down dale, it's all over. And an initial thought hit me. Can I do this? Anyway, I did it, and I still had energy to play with the grandchildren at the end, which is like, oh! And I thought, oh, I did it! And it's so nice to be able to do that. And even think about driving here and not thinking that's going to be an issue. And we're going up to Scotland next week to see our friends there. You know, and that'll be a 4 or 5 hour drive. I'm just thinking, that's fine. Oh, so good. But we're just chatting on the phone about how we can continue to support you, serve you. Isn't it great about the building? Oh, yes, yes, yes. But when I said about the timing of God, I just feel there was all sorts of plans to buy very quickly and make changes. But because of the timetable that's happened, and God even uses sometimes the slowness of a council to slow it all down so that you get used to the building, find out how it works, how it can be best done, And I think the plans now are different to where it would have been a year, 18 months ago, what you would do with the building and how you would change it. God is sovereign over all things. But the favor for you to have this building is remarkable. And it gives you a launch pad to go to another level about being right at the heart of the community in Rugeley in this area. I mentioned again this morning, about 20 years, there was a common phrase that went around a lot of the churches that we were partnered with, and that was, if the church disappeared, would the local community notice? You're in a position now where it would, and I believe God wants you to build even more, that you become the center of the community in this place. Not to lord it over the community, but to bring out the best in Rugeley. People who don't know God can still be blessed by God. And that's partly what we want to come on in a second. But we're on the phone to Richard and Jacqueline and just saying, how can we serve you in the future and what can we do? And then you're probably aware of the story. And many of you are facing health issues, challenges. But, you know, Richard's mum being ill over Christmas and continuing to be ill. Family situations. It just felt like, as I'm listening to this list, they're running on vapor. And we just said, look, we're in a position now where we could come and give you a weekend off. Well, never have we had an invitation received so quick in our life. And it's brilliant to see you doing that card. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that they're more special than you. But you know what? If we can bless Richard and Jacqueline so that they can be a blessing to you, it's a great way of blessing you all. And we can't release you all for a weekend, because I'm sorry about that. But that might take us the next 5 or 6 years, but at least we could do this for Richard and Jacqueline. So that's why we're here today. And as we were preparing, I felt very much led to this particular thing. So I'm going to start with a question, okay? How did you choose what to wear this morning? Okay? Now, was it a case that you were so busy, and mums and dads, you may be in this position, that to be honest, you just grabbed the first thing that was within reach? And, you know, I remember those days well, and when the grandchildren spend the weekend with us, we're in exactly that mode. And so you just grab what's within easy reach. Or did you spend some time thinking about how you would dress and how you would look? Or perhaps you just went for the comfy option. These clothes that we all have where we just feel the most relaxing, don't we? We'll go for the comfy option. Right? I don't know what went through your mind, but you made choices, or non-choices, as the case may be. It's interesting, I was thinking about that, and then I thought, one of the hardest, and the decisions I hate the most, is not what I should wear, but it's when Kay comes to me with two outfits and says, which one should I wear? Because I know I'm going to lose. Because if I say this one, she'll say, what's wrong with that one? It's an absolute... Guys, do you understand? Do you know this? I fear that more than anything. Kay comes to me, which should I wear? I say, oh, I don't know. Which do you like the best here? Oh, no. Which do you... No. Because it's always the other one. And what's wrong with that one? So that is one of those decisions that husbands, I think you just avoid if you possibly can. But why I asked you about why you put your clothes on is, or why you chose your clothes, is that the Apostle Paul loves analogies. Okay? It's one of his main teaching aids. And some of you will be very familiar with some of his analogies. So one of his most famous was one that he used in 1 Corinthians 12 and elsewhere, is where he compares the church to the human body. And there he's trying to demonstrate that just like the body, there's lots of different parts, but they all work together in unity for the good of the body. That's a description of the church. Now, you can't take that too far, But Paul, you know, uses it very cleverly on a number of occasions, and to value each part, and that no part's more important than the other. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he compares the Christian life to the life of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And I would encourage you to look at that passage, because there's a lot of insight in that passage. Now, again, you can't take it too far. Our job is not to go around killing people, okay? Our job is not to enter the Olympics, okay, etc. But there's a lot to learn from those particular disciplines about our lifestyle. And in Acts chapter 20, Paul is meeting with the Ephesian elders, and he says to them, look after the flock of which God has given you, meaning the church. Now, I don't think he was trying to be insulting and say we're all silly like sheep or stupid like sheep. I think it was that sense of a collective group. And it was meant to be a pastoral term rather than a derogatory term. But he loved his analogies. And I want to look at one of these analogies today. So it'll come up on the screen. It's Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to just pick up at verse 12. The whole chapter's superb, but I'll pick it up at verse 12. Therefore, now that's Paul's classic way of making a point, as a result of all that I've shared, this applies. But also he's got more to reveal to apply. But therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you, or forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We know, because we've been here so many times, and through our relationship with your leaders, that God has been revealing, and you've been learning so much about your identity in Christ. And I think that's one of the most crucial elements of our relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to really understand and enter into the experience of who we are. Now, we could spend a whole term looking at who we are in Christ, and you've been spending years now looking at your identity. But Paul chooses to summarize it on this occasion like this, verse 12. Therefore, and he's talking about our identity now, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We are, you are, chosen by God. We are holy and we are dearly loved. This is our identity. This is who we are. This is who we are individually. This is who we are corporately. Therefore, because this is your new identity in Christ, therefore, clothe yourselves or put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I don't know if you knew that, but when you were born again, you were given a new wardrobe. It's Kay's dream. It's funny, Kay loves her wardrobes. She has three, and there's still not enough room. Okay, just mention that. I have one. But you were given a new wardrobe. Why? Because you're a new creation. And this wardrobe is a designer wardrobe because it's been designed by the Trinity. This isn't just a haphazard set of clothes cobbled together from the charity shop or from the rag and bone man. That shows my age. I'll give a translation to the younger ones. But this isn't just been cobbled together. This is a designer set of clothes that you've been given. And this is a kingdom set of clothes or a wardrobe. And if we'd have started at the beginning of the chapter, we would have found Paul saying, put off these things. And he talks about the evil desires of the flesh. Get rid of that old wardrobe. Get rid of those old clothes. Because they're no longer you. I hope my brother doesn't pick this up. But my brother hit 40, and we went to a party. And I would say we're conservative, we're a small C, not a political, but in our dress, as you can see. My grandchildren make fun of me at these jumpers. In fact, we went down to Tim and Emily's at the weekend, as I said, and their eldest, Ben, said, Granddad, you've got the same jumper on. So then I quickly changed my jumper just to, but actually I quite like this one. So you can see that we're quite conservative. I'm not extreme in my dress sense. But my brother greets us at the door and he's in these level up trousers that I don't think were leather, I think they were plastic, but with this funny jacket on and an earring in one ear. Well, we love each other a lot. Now, I don't know what your expression would have been, but I just said, Keith, are you ill? What's wrong? Are you having some kind of crisis? Oh, I thought I'd get a new wardrobe. Now, that was just because he turned 40. When you become a new creation, with a whole new look of life and a whole new kingdom to enter into. When we go on holiday, we went on a very special holiday last year, and it was our 40th wedding anniversary, and we saved up and went on a Caribbean cruise. So you can imagine Kay was enjoying the Caribbean cruise 5 months before the Caribbean cruise for buying the new wardrobe for the cruise, okay? And so there was a brand new wardrobe for that cruise. Now, what was great is, no, it's not an exaggeration, dear. Don't try and play it down. It felt like it when it was carrying the cases. And anyway. But Kay chose those and the dresses for each day. And it's a fascinating mentality. I have shorts and then I have some evening wear. And then Kay has three dresses in the day for the different periods of the day. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But all I'm trying to say is, but Kay was expressing herself and with the colours and the design and what we could afford. And she chose a wardrobe. And what's nice, we're in a position in this country that most people can choose, have a level of choice in what they wear. Okay? Paul is just using that analogy. When you were born again, God gave you a new wardrobe. But do you know what? We have to choose to put it on. Because the Father's like that. He does not impose. He could impose. He's in the position to impose. He's God at the end of the day. And he could say, you will wear that. But the invitation is, as my child, will you wear this? Will you choose to wear this? And this is what Paul is saying here. It's an act of choice to put on this new wardrobe. And this new wardrobe is compassion, humility, kindness, gentleness, patience. Goes on to talk about forgiving one another and living in the peace of Christ. And I don't think Paul is saying, is get up one morning and depending on how you feel and what your situation is, you can decide whether to put them on or not. Right? I'm glad you all got dressed to come here, by the way. Okay. I think God's heart and Father's heart is that we will dress ourselves so this becomes our everyday nature. So this becomes a lifestyle rather than I'm having a good day today, so I'll be compassionate, but I'm grumpy now, so I'm not going to be very compassionate. We don't find that in Father. You don't find him 1 minute unkind and then the following minute kind, depending on how he's feeling or what the situation is. Because his wardrobe is kindness. And I think he's drawing us in so that we choose, that we put on compassion, and then that becomes our lifestyle. Kindness becomes our lifestyle. Gentleness and humility becomes our lifestyle. Peace and forgiveness become our lifestyle. Now, if we're not careful, we can leave it as theory. And this is about the Christian life. Father wants to move it into our experience. And if you've been honest, and you don't have to say anything, if you've been honest right now, if you can't say with conviction, I know God's compassion, God's kindness, God's gentleness, can I just say to you, don't get condemned and don't worry. What I'd encourage you is to ask the Holy Spirit that this becomes your experience. Because it's out of the overflow of experiencing God's compassion that you will be full of compassion. It's out of the overflow of experiencing God's kindness that kindness will flow out of you. And you can apply it to every one of those things that Paul's describing. We enjoy our food, and Kay does these brilliant meals where she marinates salmon and meats overnight. Kay made a brilliant Christmas cake, and every week added a bit more sherry. And I must admit, by Christmas, it was the bee's knees. And we agreed that perhaps she should make it a month earlier and get a bit more sherry in. But so we'll see if that happens. But when you marinate something, it takes on the flavours of what you've put it in. I think one of the most important things for the Christian life is for you to marinate yourself in God. Every opportunity you get to just soak in his compassion. And if you've never experienced the compassion of God, ask him. Because he's keen to show it to you. And not just in theory, but in your experience. Because when you've experienced the compassion of God, you can pass it on. I hope I haven't broken the... No, good. In addition, what tends to happen is we tend to kind of run out of it because we're finite and not infinite. I think one day we will be infinite. I'll let you test that one. When we're eternal, we'll be like Christ, and I think we'll find. But anyway, but we're finite. So one of our wonderful callings is to keep soaking God, keep experiencing his kindness, so that we can keep being kind. The amazing thing is, God wants Rugeley and this world to know his compassion. Guess how? Through you. Because you're clothed with compassion. God wants Rugeley to know your kindness because you're clothed with kindness. Now, we love the church, but we realize it's far from perfect, okay? And over the years, we've had the sad experience where we've experienced this, and I know people from outside the church have come into the church and they haven't encountered compassion. They've actually felt judged and they felt belittled. And when we were in Scotland and we had the privilege of serving two churches in Scotland, we found a swimming pool not far from us, and they did weekly happy hours. 50p to go swimming. I mean, that it used to cost me 50p when I was a teenager. And they had a jacuzzi as well and the steam room. So for 50p. So we used to go virtually every week, and we got to know a number of the locals. And it was all going well until one day in the jacuzzi, everybody's saying what they did. And then they got to me and Kay and said, oh, we lead one of the local churches. The silence dropped. Because their experience of some churches in Scotland was a fierce legalism that meant that they felt that they were judged at every move. And one couple had moved into a village, gone to the local church in that morning. That evening, got a knock on the door, and there's three church elders there. And the elders are there, and they're thinking, oh, isn't that nice you've come to welcome us? They'd come to reprimand them because they'd noticed that they put washing out on the Sabbath, on the washing line. And they put nappies on the washing line, and they were told that if they ever did that again on the Sabbath, they would never be allowed in church again. Now, that image of the church lived with them for 30 years until they met us in the jacuzzi. And we, over a number of weeks, we actually persuaded them that that was not church. But for 30 years, that was their experience of church. 30 years. Now, I think that's kind of at the extreme end. But it makes the point that I don't think God has set the church up to judge rudely. That's what Jesus said. I'm come to judge. I've come to bring life and to set free. Now, there will be a judgment, but fortunately, that's not down to you and me. We've been released from having to do that. Our new wardrobe is compassion, love, kindness, gentleness, humility, peace, forgiveness. And that's our new wardrobe. And we've got this designer wardrobe. And Father's saying, please wear it. Please put it on. This is the new you. Because this is me. And I want Rugeley to know me. And in so many cases, God's being misrepresented by the church. Now, that's heartbreaking for God. And to be honest, I think it'd be heartbreaking for a lot of those Christians if they realised they were misrepresenting. Because a lot of them are sincere. But they feel somehow that they have to be legalistic and stand up for righteousness. Can I just say, one of the characteristics of our identity is that we are a holy people. And yet Paul, in the context of being chosen, loved and holy, can say, put on compassion. Compassion and holiness do not contradict each other in the kingdom. They go together. We are not here to be self-righteous over people. Now, it doesn't mean we're not here to say God's got a better way. He has. Or to say that sin is going to mess you up. Because it will. But we do this with a heart of love and compassion, not of judgmentalism and crushing defeat and legalism. Because God dealt with that judgment on the cross. So now we can bring in mercy and compassion. And I just want to encourage you, what clothes are you wearing? And I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually. When people meet you, often it's your clothes that make the first impact and how you dress. I remember training people on interviews and helping them to get ready. You know, and some of the teenagers, well, they came saying they were ready for their practice interview and they hadn't even had a shower. So let alone comb their hair. And you think, come on, guys, just get it together a bit, you know, because it makes a difference. The world needs the church to be dressed in Christ's clothes. And not just as a mask. Oh, we put on this nice face because we have to, but because this is now our new lifestyle. And because this is our experience of God, and then that can overflow into giving it away. And this building gives you the most amazing platform to communicate the compassion of God to Rugeley. There is a lot going out there that is unholy. There is. I'm not trying to hide or minimize. And there's a lot of unrighteousness now that's more bold in its unrighteousness than I've ever known it. And some of you are older than me, and you'll look back and you think, that would never have been that bold. Now, I think it still went on, just wasn't as bold. Now it's blatant. And no apologies. God's still saying, put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Let them encounter God's love. I think we've said this before, but Jesus was accused by the religious groups of being a friend of sinners. And they thought it was an accusation, and he took it as an accolade. And sinners felt at home around Jesus. It was the religious people that felt uneasy. Jesus could go into a home that was supposed to be a tax collector's or a sinner's, right? And the home would be packed. And people would feel at home with Jesus. Now, Jesus never compromised the truth, ever. But somehow, non-Christians, sinners, felt at home with the Prince of Holiness in the same room and felt like he loved them and understood them and had compassion on them and was kind to them. And because of that, they come back for more. Now, how can it be that we can set up churches where non-Christians don't want to come because they feel exactly the opposite? So you can be holy and compassionate and kind. In fact, this is what Paul's saying. Because you're holy, be compassionate. We felt this so much that this was, I know you've started to kind of move into this. And I know last week you were looking at the whole area of releasing you into evangelism. I think these overlap. Gone are the days of standing with a big megaphone telling people how full of sin they are. I think today, this generation, and the generation at the back there, they've been brought up in a society that says there is no truth other than what is true for you. In my day, in the 70s, when I was at university, all I can remember the discussions were at university is, let's find out the truth. That's not the discussion that goes on today. Okay? So, to use evangelistic techniques that worked in the 70s today, it won't work because we have a different culture and different lenses on young people's eyes. So they reject that. But what they won't reject is when they feel the compassion of God. When they're healed by God, when they feel His love and His kindness, that will transform what they know to be true. Now, it doesn't mean that truth has ceased. It's just that you have to lead them to truth through experience. Rather than, for me, it was I was led into truth and then I experienced God. It's the other way around. But you know what? That's not hard for you and I who've got this new wardrobe. Because that exactly fits. It exactly fits. So I invite you, as children of God, dearly loved, chosen, and holy, I invite you to put on your new wardrobe and to ask yourself the question, what clothes am I wearing? What do people experience when they meet me? Does it line up with God's design of wardrobe? If it doesn't, don't go into condemnation. Just say, Holy Spirit, help me to get rid of the old clothes and put on the new wardrobe. And to experience it and to enjoy it. And when I talk to somebody about the compassion of God, it's because I'm enjoying it so much that I can pass it on. And Father's great. He doesn't mind you indulging in His compassion or love or kindness. In fact, He quite enjoys it. I would even encourage you to overindulge at times. It's great. So the invitation, Rugeley, God's given you this building to be right at the centre of what? Of Rugeley. Rugeley's already met you at one level, but you're still scratching the surface. I would say there's probably still 80% of Rugeley still to find you, and or more. Are they going to find a people dressed in kingdom outfit? Or just a remodeling of the world? Are you going to release them into a whole area of kingdom life? Because what they experience is this. And the choice is yours. The choice to put on these clothes. It's exciting, isn't it? Because the clothes were designed for you. They fit in with your new nature. They're not meant to be different. You give it the tweak of your character. Praise God, we're all different, so we'll all give it those tweaks, which is brilliant. And it's that will win them. And you're not compromising the gospel or righteousness or holiness one little bit. In fact, you're expressing the holiness of God. Isn't that great news? I'd love to ask you to just respond in some way. We're not going to do a tunnel, because this is all about choices. Now, some of you may have made these choices decades ago. Praise God and hallelujah. But for those who perhaps this is the first time it's occurred to you, I have been invited to make a choice to be compassionate, not just aspire to it. This is not God saying, after 30 or 40 years of being a Christian, if you work hard enough, you'll eventually get to be compassionate. This is Paul saying, no, you can put it on now. And, as importantly, you can experience it now. And you can know it for yourself now. Because honestly, it is just theory if you're telling somebody about the compassion of God and you've never experienced it yourself. It's a bit empty. And I'd love to invite you to stand if you want to make that decision of saying, this is the wardrobe I want to wear from now on. I want to put these clothes on. I want Rugeley and the world to experience Christ through me. You want to come and help, Alan? Sorry, I missed that. David? Do you want to say that?
I feel God's saying as well, it doesn't mean that it's a brand new thing. It can be that actually it's a revelation to us again, and actually, yeah, I need to actually be that. So that's for me, you know, and saying, yes, I understand this, but actually I need to be washed clean and to actually come to a fresh place and being able to do that. Because we can get, well, I won't start sermon then, you know, but basically we can get tainted by the world, can't we? And we can have that knocked out of us. Yes, tarnished. And so it's that refreshing as well. So let's believe as well, it might be a refreshing that you're looking for.
So if you're looking for a refreshing, so that you've got a today experience of God's compassion and kindness and gentleness, I invite you to stand now. If you want to make a decision to put this wardrobe on, I invite you to stand, or if you can't stand, to stand inside. Okay? Because you can stand inside. I invite you now. And then we're just going to pray, and I'm just going to invite people around you to pray for you. What's great about this is a load more than 12, and 12 change the world. No, seriously. Father, thank you that you want us to know your compassion, your kindness, your gentleness, your patience, your peace. Come, flood our hearts. Compassion is the overflow of a generous heart. Flood our hearts. Marinate our personalities and our hearts and minds with your compassion and love. Even now, Holy Spirit, let this become our regular experience. Father, and I pray for every person here that's making a conscious choice to put on this wardrobe, this kingdom wardrobe, this designer wardrobe, so that the world may know that you are a wonderful God. And we honor every one of those decisions right now before you. Holy Spirit, help each one of us. More, Holy Spirit, flood us, Lord, to overflowing. Flood us to overflowing. Where we've been tarnished by the world, remove the tarnishing and let us just enjoy your kindness, your compassion, your love, your peace. Overcome, look, Holy Spirit, every circumstance in our lives, Lord, that would kind of harden our spirits just at the moment from this. All the difficulties that we face, Lord, let them just be washed away by your love. Just enjoy the pleasure of God right now as his children. He loves this response. He loves it. And remember, he's loving you because of who you are, not because of what you're going to do. He has compassion on you because of who you are, not because of what you're going to do. He's kind to you because of who you are, not because of your performance. And Holy Spirit, I ask that this becomes a lifestyle. That during this week, there'll be lots of moments where each person that stood is just aware of your kindness. And just like that, the car parking space being provided, it's just your kindness. This person getting better, your compassion and love. Points where you just know the love of God. As we were praying before the beginning of the meeting, I just felt the pleasure of God just flood onto me. It's wonderful. Father, that's everybody's experience. Don't be embarrassed about being the most pleasure-seeking church in the country. And I'm talking about the pleasure of God. But don't be embarrassed. Apologize for it. Indulge yourself in enjoying the pleasure of God. You won't exhaust God, honestly. He won't get tired of it. And then, Rugeley Community Church, wear your wardrobe with pride. Okay? It costs a lot to buy that wardrobe, so wear it with pride.